Okay, we're at near the bottom of Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph 44a in Gemara Sanhedrin. Reb Shila just gave us an interpretation of Hashem not being happy with Yoshua's behavior. And Hashem said, you know, I told you to establish the monument right when you crossed the Jordan River, and you went 60 mil all the way until you did it. That was Reb Shila's interpretation. However, not everybody agreed with that. Basar Denofak, after Reb Shila left the study hall, he gave his interpretation. Ukim Rav Amora Ale Vidorash. Rav appointed a speaker to stand next to him and expound. In those days, remember, the big rabbis didn't have such loud voices. They would point someone to be the speaker, and then they would say to him quietly, and the speaker would say it loud to everybody else. So Rav appointed an Amora, a speaker. They didn't have microphones.
No, so why, how come his disciple would be able to speak?
Need someone with a loud voice.
Oh, so they chose somebody with a loud voice?
Well, it didn't have to be a scholar. You ever seen old Gedolim today? Rav Steinman, he can barely talk. Rav Kanievsky can barely talk. You know, okay, you put a microphone in front of them, it's okay. I mean, these guys are old.
Yeah.
Right? So now there's hundreds of students. So they'd have a guy with a loud voice. You know, he would whisper it into his ears. Another guy would say it loud. Anyway, so he would expound for him as well. Repeat what he says. Okay, so on the words, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe avdo, kein tziva Moshe es Yeshua v'chein asa Yeshua, lo heisir davar mikol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Look what the pasuk says. As Hashem commanded his servant Moshe, so did Moshe command Yeshua. And Yeshua did so. He left nothing undone of all that God commanded Moshe. See, so Yeshua did everything Hashem told him to do. So what do you tell me? He didn't listen. So obviously he wasn't faulted for traveling all the way to Har Eval. It must not have been such a bad thing. He must have had reason for it, because the Torah, the Navi says that he did everything Hashem told him to do. So therefore, but wait a minute. So what was in Kate, if that's the case, Ma Talmud Lomar, why did the Pasuk say, we said yesterday, Kum Lach, get up for yourself, which implies there's some blame for Yeshua. That was the whole reason that Rav Shalas wanted to say that Yeshua did something wrong. So he says, so this is what it is. Amar Leh, so Hashem said to Yeshua, this is what it is. Ata Garam Tolahem, you indeed caused the Jews to have this problem, because you're the one who decided to make the ban on Jericho. Okay, you made it on your own decision. Hashem never commanded Yeshua to tell everybody they weren't allowed to take from the spoils of Jericho. He did. So okay, so we're not going to say he did something wrong. It wasn't an Avera. But if you want to know why the problem came into being, it's because you made a ban on it, and you did not put up enough guards to watch it, all that. So that's why things happened the way they did. Okay, so that was the problem that he did. And based on that, Vahainu de Kamar Le Ba'ai, and that is, you can prove that, because this is what Hashem told Yeshua concerning the next city they would destroy, the city of Ai. It said like this, Hashem says, Vasisa la'ai ulamalka, you will do to the city of Ai and to its king, Kesher asisa li'iricha ulamalka, like you did to Yericha and to its king. However, the rest of the part of the pasuk, they left out the most important part, v'chulo. But the spoils and the animals you may take for yourself. See, Hashem kind of corrected it this time. He says, the next time you could take it, so we won't have any of these problems. Okay, so now, we're still on the topic of Yeshua and things that he did that weren't 100% perfect. So we continue with that idea. Okay. Here's another misjudgment of him, and this is before the battle in Yericho. It says, "Vayihi b'hiyos Yeshua b'Yericho." It was when Yeshua was in Yericho, not literally in Yericho, but near Yericho. They were laying siege on Yericho. Vayisod, if he lifted up his eyes, vayar, and he saw, etc. Again, what was the etc.? He saw a man standing opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. Yeshua went to him and says, are you for us or are you for our enemies? Okay? Later on, the Pasuk says this man was a malach, as the Pasuk will continue in 1 minute. And the malach said, Vayomer, he said, Lo, no, I'm not a person. Ki ani sartzva Hashem, I am a officer of Hashem. Atabasi, now I have come. Now that's a very unusual word. Atabasi, now I have come. Of course you've come now. Now I have come. So now we're going to see what this drush is for. Anyway, the pasuk continues. Vayipo Yeshua Elpanov. Yeshua fell on his face, arza to the earth. Vayishtachlo, and he prostrated himself before him. So first of all, Gemara asks, number one, Heichi Avedech, how could Yeshua prostrate himself before a stranger? Vamar Rabbi Yochanan said, Asul Adam Shitein Shalom Chaver Belayla, a person is not to greet someone at night who he doesn't know. You're not supposed to say Shalom at night with a person. Why? Because when it's dark, Chayshin and Shema Shedu, maybe that is a shade, a demon in disguise. And you should not give Shalom for that. So if it's forbidden to greet a stranger, certainly how can you bow down to him? Now remember, it's not all the time. The notes say only places where Shadim hang out. I mean, if you're on the street tonight in Bathurst Street, to some of you don't know, you could say Shalom to him. But in places where Shadim, demons could hang out, where do Shadim sometimes hang out? In ruins, places where no one's around. Yeshua was alone at night in the dark, open fields. That's a place where a shade may come along. So therefore, although normally it's a good thing to say Shalom to people, but not when speaking to a demon. So bowing down would even be worse. How could he bow down? Maybe it was a demon. The answer is no, he knew who he was. Shiny Hussam over there is different. To Kamar Lay, because the angel told him, Ani Sar Tzva Hashem, I am an angel of Hashem, and he's not a demon. Atabasi, now I've come. So the fact that he knew was an angel means he wasn't a demon, as it were. Commentaries ask, though, so what? So why does that still allow him to bow down? As it says here, indeed, according to Jewish law, one is forbidden to prostrate himself before an angel. For this, too, is viewed as an act of idolatry. So Sefer Ikrim explains, however, that the prohibition to bow applies only when one views the angel as an independent force and he bows before him in a gesture of supplication. The prohibition does not apply, however, if one bows merely as a mark of respect to Hashem, who's the one who sent the angel on the mission. So that's what Hashem did. So Gefer, he bowed down to the angel to show respect to Hashem. Fine. But wait a minute. How do you know it was an angel? Maybe it was a shade in disguise. Remember, shadim are changelings. Yeah. They can do all kinds of things. So Vidilma Mishakri, maybe the stranger was lying. Maybe it was a demon claiming to be an angel. No. We know a lot of things about angels. And one of the things we know about an angel is, Gmiri, we have a tradition, Dolomafki Shem Shemaim Vatola. They don't say the name of Hashem in vain. He said, I was sent by Hashem the host. So therefore, they would not have said Hashem's name as a lie. So therefore, clear, Yeshua knew he was speaking to an angel. Fine. Okay, we cleared that little point there. But now we have to understand, what is the angel? Why did he come? So very short words. Right? All it says is, Atabasi, now I have come. That's all he says. So what's going on in there? So Gemara has to fill in which is missing. And obviously, this must be dealing with a question. So this angel said, here's the criticism. Two things. Emesh, yesterday, well, really said it was that afternoon. He sees him at night. So the previous afternoon, this past afternoon, Bitaltem, Tomit Shavar Abai, neglected to bring the afternoon daily offering. All right. So they were busy circling around the city of Jericho, but you didn't bring the offering. V'yachshav, and now you did another thing. Bitaltem Talmud Torah. You're not learning Torah now. Okay. So, in other words, okay, in the day you were busy, you were, circling around, parading around. That's part of the war preparations, I understand. But what about the rest of the time at night? You should be giving shurim in the yeshiva, right? Go to your main camp in Gilgal and study Torah. So now, okay, so Yeshua wants to know exactly what are you coming here for? Al Eisav Ambasa. So for which one of these two misdeeds are you coming for to reprimand me for? That's what he's saying. Omer Le, Atabasi. Now I have come. I'm coming for the sin of now. Now you should be learning. Now is the criticism you're neglecting learning. So now you look at it, because it's very, if you look at the psukim, it doesn't make any sense. He sees this angel, bows down to him, says, what's going on? He says, now I've come. And then, miyad, right away after that, the pasuk says, Vayolan Yeshua balayla hu besocha emek. It says, and Yeshua lodged that night in the valley. Okay, so great. So what does that mean? So why do we have to know it was in a valley? From Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan interprets that pasuk to mean Malamed Shalon, to say that he lodged, he delved deep. But Omka Shalalacha, Omek also means not just the valley, but the depths. He plummeted into the depths of Halacha. So rather than returning to the place of the siege, he learned Torah. So he tried to do tshuva. Well, it's a little bit difficult to understand. Why didn't he go back to everybody and teach them all Torah? It's a question. But anyway, that was another misdeed that he did. Based on this little story, we can learn the following rule. Amar Shmuel bar Unya mishmei derav. Rav Shmuel, the son of Unya, said the name of Rav. Godol Talmud Torah. Torah study is more important. Me'akrov is tamid than bringing the daily sacrifices. Why? Because there were two misdeeds he did. And when Yeshua asked him, which one are you hitting me for? Shenemar, as he says, Atabasi, now I have come for the problem of the neglect of Torah study, more so than the missing of the daily offering.
Does this apply only to Joshua or these people as well, his army?
Well, he's the leader. He's the leader.
Yeah, so he came by himself?
He was by himself. He was by himself.
What about the rest of the army?
They were in the camp.
No. They were sieging.
It was nighttime. They're not sieging anymore. Wherever they broke for the night, that's where they were. Wherever.
My point is, Joshua came by himself.
It was by himself. This was all by himself. A private. He was going for a stroll. I don't know.
Only he was reproached for that.
Well, he's the leader. Who think an angel's going to come to everybody? The angel comes to the leader.
Right, but why didn't he bring the rest of these people down?
That's what I asked. That's what I asked 2 minutes ago. That's what I said. I don't understand that. You're right. We think alike. Let's go to another event involving an angel. Abaye said to Rav Dimi, Hi, Kra, b'marava b'may mukmisolei. This pasuk that I'm about to tell you, tell me how b'marava in the west, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, into what event mukmisole are you construing it? In other words, here's a pasuk. Tell me what event is this pasuk referring to? The pasuk says, one second. This is a pasuk in Mishle. So what's King Solomon talking about? Al teitze loriv maher. Don't go out loriv to quarrel maher hastily. Pen lest ma tasa bachrisa. For what will you do in the end? When your fellow puts you to shame. Okay, that's Stam, a nice piece of advice. Don't hastily get into an argument. You put to shame. But obviously he's talking about a certain event. We're not finished with the pasuk yet. Pasuk's still going. Rivcha rives reyecha. Quarrel with your fellow man. But v'soda cher al tagal. But do not reveal the secret of another. What does that mean? Do not accuse another person of wrongdoing you until you have fully investigated the matter and found that he is indeed blameworthy. Indeed, to prematurely provoke an argument is to risk being shamed when it's shown that your grounds for complaint were baseless. If you do enter into a dispute with another, direct the force of your words against him only. Do not malign others or associate with him, for they did not harm you. So he's saying a few things. He's saying, you know, don't go quickly to an argument until you get all the facts, because you could be embarrassed. And when you do quarrel with your friend, whatever you have to do, but don't involve other people. All right, that's the pasuk shot. But what's this event relating to? What event is this pasuk relating to? B'shashem l'kodesh bar Yecheskel. When Hashem said to Yecheskel Hanavi, Lech omer laham Yisrael, go tell the Jewish people, Avicha ha'emori v'mechitis. Start off by saying, your father was an Amorite, and your mother was a Chittite. Who's that? Well, that's a reference to Terech, who was the father of Avram, okay, from Canaan. Okay, so we're talking about the bad lineage that the Jewish people's forefathers had, going back before Avram, So Avram's father and Sarah's father were not exactly the greatest people. So that's what Hashem is telling Yechezkel to go tell the Jewish people. Well, Amra Ruach Pasconis Lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, a spirit that was an intercessory, said before Hashem, Rabbeinu Shalom, Master Universe, Im Yavol Avram Asar V'Yomfo, if Avram Asar were here right in front of you now, at the Amr Lam, would you tell them this? Umachamason, would you humiliate them by referring to their descendants as Emoris and Chitims? Right? So that's what that pasuk's referring to. So it's interesting. A Malach is quarreling with Hashem. Remember, the pasuk says, Rivcha Rives Reyecha Vesod Acher Al Tagal. Quarrel with your fellow Jew, but do not reveal the secret of another. What's that secret? The secret of the patriarchs. If you got to rebuke the Jewish people, rebuke them for their own misdeeds. Right? But why do you have to reveal the shame of their ancestors? All right? So what are you missing? The Jewish people are bad? Okay, say you're bad. You got us all missing on their ancestors? Okay, so that's what that pasuk's referring to when you're making an argument. It's interesting. It's like Shlomo Melech is, Havdol criticizing Hashem. But anyway, that's what that pasuk, that's what he's saying the pasuk is. Now, wait a minute. Now the Gemara asks, Umi Isla Rishusukolet, does an angel really have such an option to speak such chutzpah to Hashem like that? Mor says, yep. Aim, yes. Dom Rab Yosef, Rab Chanina, Rab Yosef says, Shalosh Shem Eshesho, there's three names. Now many say this is the Malach Gavriel. This whole thing is talking about the Malach Gavriel. He has three names. What are his three names?
That's okay, you'll comment.
His three names are Piskon, that's name number one. Name number two, Itmon. And name number three, Sigron. Now the Gemara is going to explain what each name means. It's really referring to certain power or things that he does. Piskon comes from the word posek. Shaposek dvarim klape malach, because he speaks towards Hashem on behalf of the Jews. Posek means to cut off. He speaks curtly. He speaks sharp, short and sharp to Hashem to defend the Jewish people. So that's another name for Gavriel. He's Piskon. Number two, Itmon. She'otem avonasem shel Yisrael. From the word otem, shuts out. He shuts out the sins of the Jews. He tries to, you know, defend them. But also he's called Sigron, from the word soger, to close. Kivin she'soger, but once he closes his pleas on behalf of the Jews, he has nothing else to say. Shuvena pasech, no one else can reopen the matter before Hashem. In other words, this Malach, he speaks curtly against Hashem. He tries to defend the Jewish people, but when he's done and if he's unsuccessful in defending the Jewish people, then Gavriel can't ask anymore and no point anybody else trying to plead on behalf of the Jewish people. Okay, anyway, moving on to the next, another pasuk. We're going back to Yeshua's battle. It's a pasuk in Iov. It says, Hayaaroch shuacha lo vitzor. Did you arrange your prayer when you were not yet in trouble? Now, what's going on? These are the friends of Eov. They're asking him a question. You know, now you're in trouble. You have all the sufferings. You're praying to Hashem to take away. Did you ever consider praying to Hashem when things were good? You know, why are you waiting before, right? Did you ever do that before? Had you done so, maybe it would have spared you from all the trouble. That's the pasuk shot in the pasuk. Okay, Hayaroch Shuach. Did you arrange your prayers lo batzor when you were not in trouble? So, what do you learn from this? Amar Rabbi Elazar. Elazar says very important rule: Li'olam yaktim adam tefillah tzar. A person should always strive to offer prayers in advance of trouble. She'il mole hiktim Avram tefillah letzara bein beis elu beinai. Because had Avram not prayed before the trouble between the cities of Beis El and I. Okay, the Torah says that. No, Avraham. Avraham. Avraham, way before, hundreds of years before, when he was traveling to Eretz Yisrael, it says he camped between Beis El and I, and he prayed. Why is the Torah telling us? What was he praying about? There's nothing to pray for. But Avraham prophetically saw that the Jews were going to be in big trouble in I. And since they sinned in Yericho, they should have got totally annihilated. But Avram, who prayed hundreds of years before, his prayer was listened to, that the Jews only had minimal damage. So had Avram not prayed when things were good, lo nishtar, there'd be nothing left. Now this is a euphemism now. Mirisha Yisrael, from the wicked ones of Israel, meaning to say the Jews, but we always refer to the enemies of the Jews. We don't want to say it's the Jews itself. It really means the Jews wouldn't be, but the wording is the wicked ones. Sorry Upali, there wouldn't remain a remnant or a survivor. It was his prayer that he said years before that it cut the losses down. If not, the Jews would have been totally decimated. So therefore, what do you see? In general, you see a good rule. When things are going good in your life, that's the real time you should be praying. It's not a big chachma to pray when you're suffering. You know, you have to be an idiot not to pray when you're suffering. But when things are going good, parnasa is good, family's good, health is good, everything's good, that's when you pray your kishkas out. Okay? And those are very special.
That time you give thanks to Hashem.
Well, yeah, but that's still prayer. But it's saying it's all you, Hashem. I'm praying to you. All my success comes from you, and please keep it with me. And I'm trying my best. Blah blah blah. But you got to pray as if your life depends on it, even though everything seems to be good. And that's how Avram was praying. That's always have to be that way. That's an important rule. Yeah, everything's going good. You know, it's El. I don't have to go to Minyan. I don't have to pray. Whatever. It's just, you know, it's a good time. It's a good time. Good times are especially good times to pray. Yeah.
How did Avram know
prophecy? Prophecy.
Through straight Nevoah, that's it.
Yeah. He knew, I don't know if he knew everything.
Yeah.
He could sense that this place that he was traveling by, he could sense in the future, needs prayer. Mm-hmm. So he'd pray. All right, let's finish up over here. Reish Lakish, Shomer Reish Lakish adds, now that we're talking about prayer, he's learning this pasuk a little bit differently. The one we said, that the ones that the friends of Eov said, he says, Kol hama ametz atzum v'tfilum umata, anyone who strengthens himself in prayer below in this world, in the physical realm, if you really strengthen yourself in prayer, ein lo tzar milamal, you won't have any enemies up above. Meaning Satan and his whole court over there. In other words, anyone, if you're really praying hard all the way time down here, Satan's got nothing to do upstairs and he won't be able to do anything against you. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan gives a third interpretation of the Pasuk. He says, Ol mivak eshadam rachim. A person should always beseech Hashem for mercy. That what? Shiyu hakol ma'am tzines kocho. That Hashem should allow all the angels to strengthen his power of prayer. All right, make my prayer strong. And that they should have no enemies above. So according to him, he learns the pasuk like this. If one wishes to arrange his prayer properly, let him pray that he not have enemies among the celestial beings. And that usually happens mostly during Psukei Dezimra. Mm-hmm. That's why we daven Psukei Dezimra. You might wonder, why do we have to say Psukei Dezimra? Let's just start with the Amida. The answer is, you're going to say the Amida? You think you're going to daven the Amida? Your words till they get to the Amida. You know how many angels are there going to cut your prayers apart before they even get into HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's like you're saying like this. You say, I'd like to have a meeting with the Prime Minister now. Really? You try to go to Ottawa, see how far you're going to get. You're going to walk right into his quarters. They're going to chop you up to bits. So the same thing, your prayers get chopped up to bits. So what do you got to do? You got to start Psukei Dezimra. You got to say how amazing Hashem is, and he's great, and this, and that, and everything. And you're really pleading with the angel, let me in. I want to get things to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're able to plead before that, then you won't have prosecutions against the prayer, and the prayer will able to work. All right, let's just go a little bit further. Okay, it's a two dots. So now back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah asks, Minayin Shekipel Ovidu. How do we know that the Vidui of Achan helped? So Gemara is going to quote a Brisa that's going to repeat some of the days of Mishnah, but we'll add some things. It's a little bit, about six lines to the next two dots, so we can do that. Tana Rabbanan. The Brisa elaborates on the Mishnah. Minayin Shekipel Ovidu. How do we know the Vidui, the confession of Achan, worked? Shenemar, what did Yeshua say to him? Vayomer lo Yeshua, Ma achartanu ya'akorcho Hashem bayom hazeh. He said to Achan, Why have you, our katan, why have you ruined us? Right? Ma achartanu. Why have you ruined us? And therefore, Ya'akor Hashem, Hashem should ruin you. But Yom HaZeh, on this day. Why do you emphasize the word this day? The answer is, Hayom HaZeh Atachor. On this day you are ruined. But you are not ruined in the world to come if you, because you gave your confession. And another proof we have to this, Uksiv, it says in the book of Divrei Hayomim, as it goes through the history of the Jews, it says, Ubnei Zerach, who were the children of Zerach? It says he had five children. Zimri, number one, Ve'esan, number two, Ve'heman, number three, Ve'chalkol, number four, Ve'dorah, number five. Kulam Chamisha, five in all. Okay, now wait a minute. Zerach also had another son, Achan. That's what we know, Achan, right? Hi, my Kulam Chamisha. Why did it say he, all of them are five? Why five in all? I can count. You don't have to tell me five. The answer is because you'd think that maybe not all the same. But you say, no, Kulam Chamisha, all five? Hey, Olam Haba. They all have Olam Haba. Now, we're going to see that even Zimri, who we're going to see in a minute, is Achan, goes into Olam Haba too. So it listed the five sons. One of them was called Zimri. We'll see in a minute. Zimri is Achan. And that's the Chiddush in Divrei Hayomim, that even Zimri, all five, will get into Olam Haba. Ksiv, he says over there in Divrei Hayomim, that one of the children is Zimri as a descendant of Zerach. No mention of Achan. But wait a minute, let's go to Sefer Yeshua. Uksiv Achan. It writes Achan in Yeshua that Achan was the son of Zerach. So what's going on? So is it Achan? Is it Zerach? So Rav and Shmuel, they give, they say they're the same people, and they give different answers. Question is, what was the main name and what was the nickname? Chadamar, one says Achan Shmuel, one says his real name was Achan. That's what he's given. But when the Navi relates him in the Divrei Hayomim, V'lama Nikra shows you why he's called Zimri. Zimri was a nickname. She'asa Maisa Zimri. He didn't act like Zimri. And what? Who was Zimri? Zimri committed a licentious act when he cohabited with, in the times in the desert, right, with the Midianite women at the end of, in Sefer Bamidbar, he was the one that started the whole thing, the 24,000 people died. So he didn't act like Zimri. So remember we said, yesterday that Zimri also cohabited with Anara Murasa. So therefore he didn't act like Zimri, therefore he's called Zimri. But it's the same person. V'chadar, one says, no, Zimri Shmo. Zimri was his actual name. V'lamanikr Shmo Achan. Why was his name called Achan? She'ichein avonosem shel Yisrael. Because he wound from winding around the sins of the Jewish people around the nation like a snake. Just like a snake wraps itself around a person, his avera wound the punishment, as it were, around the Jewish people for that. Okay.